Managing a career, maintaining a home, finding the right daycare, and raising a child to be happy, healthy, in mind and spirit. These are all things parents have to deal with and juggle every day. No one says raising a child is easy, and certainly no one says it's easy to do on your own. Hello, I'm Tika Ballas, your host this week for Hometown Alaska. Today, my guest and I will discuss single parenting, how to raise a happy, healthy child on your own. We hope you'll call in and share your single parenting experiences, the issues, and the solutions, or call up with any questions or advice my guests may be able to assist you with. Today, I have in the studio with me licensed clinical social worker, Rich Steinsig. Hello, Richard.
Hello. Glad to be here.
And education specialist, Karin Halpin, from Alaska Parent Information and Resource Center. Hello, Karin.
Hi there. Pleasure to be here.
Again, this is Hometown Alaska, and today we're discussing single parenting, how to raise a happy, healthy child on your own. If you're out there listening and you have something to share, I want to encourage you to call in. The number here is 907-550-8433. That's 907-550-8433. Or if you're outside the Anchorage area, you can call 1-888-353-5752 or email hometownalaska@kska.org. Now, there are a lot of different views and debates on how to raise children. What's the best way to discipline, educate, nurture them? But it seems most people will agree that raising a child or children on your own with nobody to bounce ideas off of is a very challenging aspect of parenting. Now, Rich, there are a lot of problems almost exclusive to single parents and their children. As a social worker, what do you see are some of the more predominant issues?
Well, I think that some of the main issues for single parents is how to structure their time enough to be able to do all the things that they need to do in their jobs, and then also all the child care needs that need to occur. Working with the schools, coordinating any extracurricular activities. A lot of it is just time management. They're moving around. They're trying to get everything done. And as a single parent, you're tend to doing it by yourself, and it makes it that much more difficult.
Now, there are a lot of problems almost exclusive to single parents and their children, as we discussed, but also to their children in the school system. And, Karin, as an educator, do you find that children of single parents are more prone to certain type of classroom conduct or disabilities in learning?
Not at all. I would have to agree with Rich that time is a big issue with single parents. And there are many little things that parents can do that can have a huge positive impact for the children. An example could be the positive impact that reading daily to your children. Research shows that when children who come from low literacy homes, and a low literacy home might be a child who's read to, say, 25 hours from birth to kindergarten versus a child who comes from a high literacy home. And when I say low literacy home versus high literacy home, this has nothing to do with culture and a socioeconomic status of the home. It's strictly whether the child's being read to, spoken to, sung to in the home on a daily basis. So 25 hours versus 1,000 hours from birth to the child entering kindergarten. The child who comes from a low literacy home will enter kindergarten with a listening vocabulary of about 3,000 words versus the child who enters kindergarten from a high literacy home will enter kindergarten with a listening vocabulary of about 20,000 words.
And so you find that single parents are just as apt to read to their children as
absolutely.
Say.
So everyone can find 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there within your routine to read to your child, and that can have such a positive impact. So the child who comes to school with a listening vocabulary of 3,000 words will have a more difficult time in school versus the child with a listening vocabulary of 20,000 words.
Again, this is Hometown Alaska, and today we're discussing single parenting, how to raise a happy, healthy child. If you're out there listening and you want to share or ask for some advice, we are taking calls at 907-550-8433. That's 907-550-8433. We currently have online Patricia raising a child successfully. Hello, Patricia. How are you doing?
Thank you. Not only was I raised in the middle of the Arctic of Alaska with only a single parent, but I am a single parent, and I have two children who are apparently doing pretty well as a result. I don't know whether it's myself, but anyway, they are doing well. One's a psychiatrist, and the other one works for Mr. Gates.
Great. And do you have any tips that you found along the way with parenting that you can share with our listeners?
Reading to them. I read, my mother read to me. I read to my children all the time. I would hold them in my arms and read to them. I would sing to them. I would lullaby to them. I would read to them. I would hold a book in front of them and read to them.
Great. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you very much. And
you're
it's
welcome.
Just as you said, Karen, it's mm-hmm. just reading to them is, it seems like it would be a popular idea as well. My parents read to me all the time, and I think I'm just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We also have somebody here, Mike, is seeking advice. Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi. Actually, I'm dating a girl who is a single parent, and I was listening to your show, and you guys said time management and reading, and I was wondering if you guys had anything that isn't, it's kind of common sense. I'm wondering if you guys have any better ideas besides reading and time management skills.
Well, there are a lot of different ideas. Thank you, Mike, and we can continue on as we just started here. But
well, I think that some of the things that are real important to do with in any parenting situation is trying to tune in to the kids' needs, what's going on with them, providing some predictability and consistency in routines. You know, when you enter into a family, you know, my rule of thumb has always been that for a blended family, it takes about 3 to 5 years for that family structure to settle down. There's just lots of different relationships that need to be developed. And as if you're coming into a family, you have to develop the relationship with the kids before you can be authoritative in telling them what to do. So I think one of the first things to be able to do is really just get to know the kids. You know, what do they like, spending time with them without being the authoritarian control person.
Yeah.
Are you finding there's other issues that you're dealing with, Mike?
No, I was just looking for more advice just on coming into a situation where there's a single parent.
It takes a lot of time to develop those relationships, but the more work you put into it, in the beginning, in these relationships with the kids,
yeah,
the better off it gets later on.
Well, yeah. Mike, go ahead and keep tuning in for the show. We'll have other callers coming in, and we'll cover a couple more topics here in regards to single parenting. Maybe you'll find the advice you need there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now, another aspect of single parenting is time management, as you mm-hmm. noted. Another thing about that is school functions, social functions, how a kid gets to have their parent involved when their parent is also working and running the home and maybe having more than just one child as well to take care of. How do you suggest that a single parent who works full-time still be active in a child's academic life?
There's so much to parent involvement, and a lot of parent involvement happens behind the scenes. Quite often, people think of parent involvement as showing up, being at the school, going to the PTA meetings. Parent involvement is setting expectations for your child. Parent involvement is making sure that your child gets enough sleep. a lot of parents don't realize that children need 9 to 10 hours sleep a night. So we look at our teenagers who the circadian rhythm changes and they're staying up to 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and then our school day starts at 7:30, 8 o'clock. So are they getting enough sleep? So can they really function in school? So we need to set expectations for our children and set routines for our children. We need to tell our children, I expect you to do well in school. And what does that look like? Well, I need you to be in bed at a certain time. I expect you to spend so much time on homework. And that depends on the age of your child. If you have a second grader, your second grader might be spending maybe 20, 30 minutes of homework. And you also want to be encouraging your second grader to be reading at home. Maybe you want to sit down and read a book with your child or have your child read to you or read by him or herself. It depends on where your child is at. If your child is older, you want to be making sure that your child has what he or she needs in order to be able to do his or her homework. Set the expectation that I expect you to choose an activity or sport where you will be active and involved with others in a positive, meaningful way. And you also want to communicate positively and regularly with your child. Listen carefully and with an open heart, and also without judgment, which can be really a challenge sometimes because we, when we look back on our lives, I mean, we've all made mistakes, and sometimes it's hard as a parent to not judge our children. So it's important to have that open communication with your child.
Rich, did you have something to add there?
Well, I think that one of the big differences that parents have to go through, it certainly depends on the age of the kids. I think with the younger kids, parents need to be more of a manager in their kids' life, organizing them, setting those expectations, creating those limits, setting those limits. When they become older, when they become teenagers, parents need to make a shift and be more of a consultant, because it certainly gets very difficult to get teenagers to do what we want them to do. I mean, this is part of the independence. This is part of adolescence. There's that they're trying to sort some stuff out. So we have to shift a little bit as parents and, align with them a little bit, be more of a consultant, try to get them to talk. And through that conversation, you can kind of get your point across. And also you're learning about how they think about things too.
Well, and as you said, when you're dealing with a small child, you're more like a manager. You're taking care of things. You clean up after them. You feed them. But there's a certain age where that obviously changes, where a child learns to feed themselves a little more often when they are hungry and maybe clean up after themselves. What is that age range where you as the parent start creating boundaries and ground rules of how to run around the house and how to conduct yourself at the house and chores? What's about the age for that?
Well, I think that it varies. I think that when kids are certainly in elementary age, typically they can go and get some snacks for themselves. They can kind of go into the pantry and get something to eat. Chores are, the younger the kid, I think chores need to be very basic for them. Whether it be taking your dishes from the kitchen table to the dishwasher, or maybe picking up some toys in their room. I think the older kids become, certainly the expectations increase a little bit more. Whether it's kind of helping out around the house, vacuuming, raking,
walking dogs. But is there a special way to set that up, that whole idea of doing certain chores? Because if you're a single parent, it seems also maintaining a house with a child or children running amok and creating disasters upon disasters. How do you suggest that parents introduce that change in the rapport where the child learns to assist a little more at the house instead of just creating disasters?
Well, I think it starts very young, and I think you make house cleaning and chores a fun thing, not something to dread. There's lots of creative ways it can happen, but you want to make it fun. Instead of the dreaded chore, which if you present it in that way, nobody's going to want to do it. So it starts early, you make it fun. If you're vacuuming, you're singing, you're dancing, you're doing all sorts of stuff, kids kind of see that it's okay.
And maybe a merit system, not necessarily an economic merit.
Well, there's the whole token economy stuff. There's the paying for chores. And that's a classic debate. Should I have to pay my child for chores, or should I just expect them to participate in the house? I think it kind of depends on the personality of the child. I think sometimes the helping out in the house works very well. I think also sometimes the token economy, for kids that need that little bit of extra motivation, that works there too.
Mm. If you're just tuning in, we are here at Hometown Alaska, and we're discussing single parenting, how to raise a healthy, happy child on your own. My guests are social worker Rich Steinzig and education specialist Karen Halpin. If you'd like to call up and share your experiences of single parenting, perhaps some of the problems you're facing or insight and wisdom you've got, please call in at 907-550-8433. That's 907-550-8433. And if you're listening to this program in the evening, just remember that you cannot call in. This is a rebroadcast. And we have here Michel, a single parent. Hello, Michel. How are you doing?
Hello. Fine. Thank you.
And what's your issue today?
Okay. I've got some advice for new single parents. I was a single parent for 8 years, on and off, 1 week on, 1 week off. And then for 2 years, 100%. And what I've done and what I realize, it's a full-time job if you want to do it properly. So I did it by downsizing my lifestyle, and I could take care of my son. The thing I did was trying to give him all-around educations, going to public school, but also exposing him to art, exposing him to concerts, exposing him to different type of cultures. And the town, it's the city, it's very, very well for this type of lifestyle, because you've got lots and lots of free venue, which are fantastic. You could go to Campbell Creek Science Center, and it's free. You go to the university, some lecture, and it's free. I mean, you look at the newspaper. So someone who don't want to spend money or who doesn't have the money, there is plenty to do. One thing I've done also is to structure the life. 3 square meals a day, every day, 7 days a week. Involve with my son all the time after school activity, during the school activity. I mean, all the time. And one thing also is to teach him there are consequences if he misbehaves, and to stick to your gun. As much as he did hurt me, even more so than for him, I sometimes made him pay the consequences. And the thing, be yourself, especially when it's 1 week on, 1 week off, be yourself and don't try to be the good guy, don't try to be the bad guy, just try to be fair to the kids. That's what's very important.
Oh, thank you, Michel. That's great advice. Rich.
So that's about it. And then hopefully you see the positive results later on in life. One thing also which is really good, it's because I did not make my son one particular ethnic group or one particular nationality. I did not. I tried to make my son a world person.
And how old is your son now?
My son is 23 now.
Ah, he's out of the house then?
Yes, he's out of the house, yes. But for 10 years, I did raise my son for 10 years. And then looking back, sure, it wasn't fun every day. Sure, I had some rough moments like everybody. But you know, when you see the what counts, it's to plant the seeds, like for civic responsibility or responsibility toward the environment, or, you know, without being an extremist, just little bit of it. You pick up the trash here, you do this, so it gives him a broader spectrum on life and a down-to-earth approach on how to raise a young person in our world.
Great. That's all really fantastic advice. Thank you, Mita.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Now, I saw that you both were smiling at this. I do know that in this town we're known for having some really fantastic public schools, but he also pointed out there's a lot of free things of culture to add to a child's life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the cultural aspects, you know, is part of education also. It's not just the three R's, and I think that's extremely valuable. You know, one of the things that he had talked about was the three square meals a day. And one of the things that, kind of going back to what Karen had said earlier about reading to your kids, and that's one of the things that's helpful, there's some real interesting studies about when you have dinner times, meals with your kids every night, that they're less likely to get involved in any behavioral problems. They do better at school. You know, so many times the TV can be going, people are eating in front of the TV, families are not together. And I think it's real important for families to eat together if possible. And sometimes the parent does have to turn off the TV and say, you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to sit down and to talk about the day. Not talk about what's wrong, but just talk about the day. It's a very valuable time for the kids.
Well, and it seems, too, as we're discussing this, an issue that many single parents face is time management. There's a job and a house and a child and a lot of stuff, and possibly even a personal life. Maybe not. but Michelle brought up a great point, too, is just downsizing mm-hmm. in his life, mm-hmm. meaning maybe less extracurricular activities for himself, maybe not such a big house, but a smaller one that they're more intimately in tune with each other. There's a lot of different ways to break that down. And I think in this town, especially, since it's such a consolidated city, there are so many opportunities to take your kid out to the ice park, to the skate park, and most of that is free, correct?
There are, and there's a lot. There's so much that goes on in the school, and for parents that are working during the day, sometimes it's so difficult to take time off and go to those school events and be able to go on that field trip with your child. So it's nice that he has taken advantage, or he took advantage of doing things with his child on the weekend. And I think it's important for families that at the beginning of the school year to get a calendar of the school events and find out, okay, what's going on? What are the trips that are going to happen? And sit down with your child and prioritize. Okay, I can do one trip this school year with your class. What's the most important thing you would like me to take off from work and go to? And have that conversation with your child and prioritize. And then see if you can partner with another family and swap events. Say, okay, I can do this and I'll keep an eye on our children. Can you go to this event? And then communicate also with your child's teacher and say, you know what, I can't go to the author's tea because I can't take off work. Would you let me know how it went? Because I want to know. I want to know how my child did. Let the teacher know that you want to be a partner. You want to partner with the school in your child's education. You want to be involved. Just because you, as a single parent, can't actually be in the school doesn't mean that you're not an involved parent. So communicate that with the school. Find out the calendar, what's going on, and then plan it out with your child. And let your child know that you want to be there, but there's only so much that you can do.
Now, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and today we're discussing single parenting, how to raise a healthy, happy child on your own. If you'd like to call in and share your experiences of single parenting, please do so. The number is 907-550-8433. That's 907-550-8433. Or you can email us at hometownalaska at kska.org. And remember that if you are listening to this program in the evening, please do not call in. There won't be anybody here to take your call. We have a Jane here who's a single parent. Hello, Jane. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of ideas and suggestions, and I appreciate that you commented about there may be some things you have to give up and things to let go of. You know, if the house isn't sparkling clean or if the kids haven't cleaned up their bedrooms, maybe the best thing to do is just close the door. But one of the best comments I ever got from a coworker, she gave me a list of 100 things to do for busy women, 100 helpful hints for busy women. And I was working two jobs, and time was very precious. I don't remember 99 of them, but one I always did remember is buy twice as much underwear and do the laundry half as often.
That is great advice. I think I can use that myself.
Well, and I realize some people don't have the wherewithal to purchase additional underwear. It is expensive. But the other thing that I would say is remember to be the adult in the family. Kids are going to say and do things that will hurt you, and they're going to make you angry. And the hardest thing in the world to do, but it's critical, is don't react. Just listen to them. Don't react. They'll get over it. At least you hope they do. So that's all I would add.
Well, thank you, Jane. Thank you very much. Yeah, there is a difference I've been reading a lot about, too, the difference between reacting and responding to your child. And responding means just to listen and take it in and then give them some feedback to what they've said instead of just jumping off the lantern and yelling back at them. We have Steve here who's raising a girl with problems. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Okay. Thank you for listening to me.
Mm-hmm. What is your problem today?
Well, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity. I got some input that I can share with you. With a girl that had a lot of problems when I got her, she'd been in 3-4 foster homes. And I'd like to mention what I did to help her. One of the things you have to do is you have to have a lot of patience and constantly show them that your love is unconditional. And she would cry for 4 or 5 hours at a time and take things that didn't belong to her. This was regular, I mean, every day. And persistent, just loving her and taking care of her as a single parent. One day she told me, she looked at me for a long time, and she said, I never had a real father before. And that was a lot of rewarding for me. What I want to mention is the other foster homes probably let her go because they couldn't take her crying. But it's very rewarding once they come out of it once, and they recognize, and they stop what they're doing. And I wanted to share that with you. I could take your comments.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. That's really nice. And I think that, again, is part of listening, as both of our last two callers have mentioned, listening to your child, hearing what it is that their grievance is, and participating in that conversation and not just reacting to them. We have Jean talking about school at breakfast. Hi, Jean. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you? This is a great program today. The one thing that seemed to work best for me that probably when I was raising my kids that helped more than anything was in the morning when we were eating breakfast, I'd talk about school and ask them what they were learning and I think that if a parent does that, they send their kid the great message that you really are interested in what they're learning in school, and it gets them off to a good start first thing. So that's
great.
Pretty much all I wanted to talk about. So
great. Thank you, Gene. Thanks for sharing that.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
I would like to point out that according to the 2009 census report, or one that was issued in 2009, that only 16% of custodial parents are men, of single custodial parents. But to put that in a better perspective, that's about, I think, 2 million single parents are men, which is a very small amount compared to the 16 million single parents out there. But yet, the majority of our calls have been from men. I think that good for you guys.
Absolutely.
Now, Rich, in your experience, though, since you deal a lot with families and children, do single fathers face different issues than their female counterparts, do you think?
There are some differences. Often fathers are working a lot, and you know they have to do the time management issues as well. You know, I don't want to make a generalization, but I think that sometimes for men it's harder to be nurturing to their kids. Sometimes the moms can be a little bit more nurturing to kids, and I think it. As a single parent father, you have to really kind of challenge yourself and really work on tuning in with your kids on an emotional level. I think that's difficult for some men. I think it's easier for others. But I think that's one of the main kind of differences that I see.
Now, it seems on the opposite side then, in all the chats that I was looking up on, there are a lot of places, by the way, for single parents online to connect with other single parents and commiserate and find support, because it seems that even in this day and age when it is so common to find single parents, it is also just as equally as common to find parents who are being turned aside by the married parents at the school, put down by their own family members for being single parents. And one of the major complaints that I saw were that single mothers were often being told that their boys, should they have a boy, will grow up passive or socially inept because they don't have a father. Is this a myth, or is there really?
I don't find that to be true. I think that any time there is a single mom or a single dad. I mean, there are three jobs that parents have to provide. You know, you have your own job, and then you have to work on being a father, and you have to work on also being the mother. I mean, you have lots of different roles to take. But I don't find that, in my experience, that single moms raise boys that turn out remarkably different. I think there's a lot of overlap in boys and girls and how parents deal with them.
Do you think that there should still be a positive gender role model on either side for a child? And if so, how would you achieve that?
I think the most important thing is a sensible adult. Yes, it would be nice if there was a positive male role model and a positive female role model. But I think the most important thing is they're a stable role model, regardless of the gender.
Right. Karen, did you want to add to that?
Actually, yeah. First, I'd like to applaud Gene. He was a previous caller. Mm-hmm. And what he was doing every morning with his children is setting the expectation that school is important. And as a parent, that is invaluable. On what you can do is set the expectation to your children that school is so important. So something so simple as, hey, what's one thing that you learned yesterday? What's one funny thing that happened in school yesterday? Just to get the kids excited about the new school day coming up is so important. And then regarding single, you know, parents with your question about son having a positive role model, we believe that a key for single parents raising a son in particular is to model supportive behaviors in the home, such as positive communication, which I've spoken about, setting high expectations, and setting limits. The next part is creating positive relationships with teachers and working closely with the school. And also, the third part is the one that can be overlooked due to time, and we've talked about time and how hard it is, and energy required in single parenting, but this is so important. The single mother must seek out and cultivate opportunities in the community or extended family, if there is an extended family that can offer support in a positive way for the son with a positive male role model. This could be a coach in the school. It could be a male relative. It could be someone within a church, a tribal, or a community organization. And ideally, a child will have three or more caring, non-parent adults in the child's life. And then also, it depends on the community, but like right here in Anchorage, there's Big Brothers. And I know in rural, remote Alaska, you don't have Big Brothers and Big Sisters, but also there's Boy Scouts, there's Explorers, there's different sports, there's arts, there's music. Depending on the child's interest, find out what your child is interested in, and then seek out adults in your community that you could pair your child up with to give your child that extra adult role model.
Well, and it seems, too, that a big part of that would be that if it's a single mother, that the father might be gone due to a poor personality defect mm-hmm. of some sort, we'll just call it. And it seemed in that kind of situation, especially, it's important for both a daughter and a son to have a positive male influence so that they don't come up with this idea that all men are like the deadbeat dad,
right? Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, an interesting statistic that I also read recently was that less than 25% of single parents receive welfare or food stamps, which crushes that whole myth that single parents will all end up destitute, that in fact more than 50% of them work full-time in even multiple full-time jobs. Does that statistic seem to fit in the experience of being single parent here in Alaska, though, in your experience?
That's out of my area of expertise.
You know, my experience has been that, you know, most of the single parents I work with are working full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there's some that do need that public assistance, but single parents that are kind of focused and motivated on their kids, you know, that certainly ask for services, you know, they're working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, I think, are very hardworking. And so I think that statistic is probably about right.
Well, we're going to take a quick break right here. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm Tika Ballas.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the show repeats tonight at 10. Remember, tonight's recorded rebroadcast will not be taking phone calls. Following this afternoon's broadcast, you can also find a copy of today's Hometown Alaska online at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and today we're discussing single parenting, how to raise a healthy, happy child on your own. My guests are social worker Rich Steinsick and education specialist Karen Halpin. If you'd like to call in and share your experiences of single parenting, we've been receiving lots of calls today with some great advice and some good questions. You can do the same. You can call 907-550-8433. That's 907-550-8433. If you're outside of the Anchorage area, go ahead and call 1-888-353-5752, or you can email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. We are discussing here single parenting, and we've discussed some statistics, different ideas of what people can do, ground rules. Also, I would like to mention that there is a great website, the Alaska Court System website, and they have a list of suggestions that I'd like to bring up here. They have listen, talk, and play with your child, something that we've discussed already. Be warm, loving, and responsive. Be a role model for respectful behavior and values you believe in. I think that's a great one. And I think, as we discussed just a minute ago, how having a positive male or female role model to in lieu of the parent that is missing. I think being the role model yourself is a huge part of this. Would you not agree? Listening to your child without judging what you hear. All of these things we've heard today. Establishing rituals and routines. And another site also brought up setting up not only boundaries but ground rules. And a great way to set up your ground rules was to first not only bring all your child in and agree what the ground rules would be as a collective agreement, but also to not use negative wording. Instead of saying, don't call that person names, say, be respectful. Do you know anything about this negative routine and how it's played in children's heads?
Well, I think that that's a really useful technique to use with kids is to not use the deficit kind of question or the deficit kind of comment, because oftentimes they only hear the first part of that conversation, that first part of that sentence. They don't hear the whole thing. So you really want to be able to give them what they can do rather than what they can't do. A classic example that I often use with my clients is so many times when a parent is on the phone, the kids are interrupting all the time, you know, and sometimes it's very difficult for people to have a conversation because the kids are always interrupting. So one of the things I work with folks on is that in the middle of a conversation, to have the person hold on for a second and then say to your child, thanks for not interrupting. So you're naming and talking about what you are wanting rather than what they don't want. And I think that those kind of little techniques really helps some of the management issues that happen in the house.
Mm-hmm. Karen, I thought you were nodding.
I agree. And then I also like to use the wording to help redirect for behavior. What should you be doing right now? Instead of saying don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then get your child to be thinking, oh, that's right. I'm not supposed to be, you know, flinging mud across, whatever.
Make them consider whatever it is that they're doing in that very moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about single parents here, how to create that happy, healthy child who hopefully won't need 20 years of therapy because of our parenting. But there's another issue here. There are single parents out there who are co-parenting, and that means sharing the duties, like Michelle, who called in earlier, that for a while there, before he became the sole parent, he was a week on, week off. And there are a lot of parents these days who are doing this week on, week off with their child. And there are a lot of arguments about co-parenting, the pros and cons of a week on, week off. In your experience and your opinion, if you should have one, do you think that it is healthy for a child to go back and forth to a household a week on, week off, or would it work better in the old traditional way of holidays and summers with one parent?
Well, I think it's bad solutions to bad problems. But I think that it is so important for kids to have relationships with their parents. And sometimes the week on, week off is in the best interest of the child. Sometimes there are families that are able to work together that the most of the week is spent with one parent, the other parent kind of gets the weekends. But there's lots of liberal visitation, there's lots of time on the telephone doing things, so it's the physical placement of the kid is not so much of an issue because there's lots of contact. But it's a real struggle for parents, and it's not a perfect solution
No.
In any situation.
I did see that there are many states who have a form, mm-hmm. A set of procedural rules to follow in the event of co-parenting, put out by the state. It's set by the judge, I believe. And in it, the things that you already know that you'd have set up, what holidays a parent gets a child, what days of the week. There's also a written agreement as to how you're going to inform the other parent that you're going to be late or won't be able to have them for that week. So there can't be any bickering about that. But I was surprised to see there's also, and glad to see that there were also in their agreements as to what age and weight the child would be before they had to stop being in a child seat. So that was an agreement. And obviously the states found that there was enough of a disagreement to have to make it an agreement. But we don't, as far as any of us can seem to tell, that there is not a set form here in this state in the event of divorce and separation. And parents have to come up with this themselves. Do you have any suggestions? Because it seems that there tends to be a lot of feuding between co-parents. Any set system that you could suggest in a state like this?
Well, I think that unfortunately there can be a lot of feuding between divorcing parents. And regrettably, the child's best interest is not the priority. It's kind of, as a parent, I have to best this other parent. You know, I can't let them do this. And that creates real problems. And I think that whenever there's a mediation occurring, that there's some common goals worked toward, I think that's the best solution. Sometimes it's a bit of a circus in that process. It's very difficult. But I think at the end, if there can be some common agreements and, you know, common goals that we're working toward, how do we want our child to kind of be when he's older? Parents then can kind of get through this stuff. But it can be real problematic for the kids when the parents are fighting over very specific details. And the kid is usually in the middle, mm-hmm. and is often stuck in the middle. And if sometimes the kids are often asked to keep secrets, that one parent is doing something he doesn't want the other parent to know, the child is now stuck in the middle, where is his loyalty? It's very, very confusing, very, very difficult for these kids to deal with.
It seems to me that that's, you know, common sense, that it's not going to be healthy for a child to make them the secret bearer. But on a more like...
It happens all the time.
How does this really affect... I mean, not how as in it doesn't, but in what way does this affect a child emotionally, do you think?
Well, I think that it affects them. Well, it affects them in many different ways, but I think it affects them in that they now have to be almost an adult in deciding what information is related to the other parent. That's not the role for a kid. You know, the kid needs to be the kid. The kid needs to be kind of focused on whatever they're doing, school or whatever. They don't need to be the communicator of all this kind of data. So it puts them in this position. There are divided loyalty issues. If I betray this person, am I going to, you know, what's going to happen to my relationship with this house if I, you know, spill the beans? It can make them very anxious. I see a lot of kids that have anxiety because they don't want to disappoint. And they're kind of stuck in the middle. They don't know what to do.
Well, it seems Joe here has the welfare of the kid versus, oh, maybe not. Joe, are you there? No, we just lost Joe. Maybe Joe will call back. But the welfare, I think what he was going to bring up, the welfare of the kids over the welfare or the special interests of the parents, which is exactly what we're talking about here. How do you convey to a parent how important it is to put your own personal interests aside and your spat and feuding aside for the betterment of your child? I don't know how you get that across any better than the obvious ways.
And you just kind of have to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, attorneys can speak probably better to this, but there are some parents that just will not communicate with each other, you know, no matter what the intervention. And it's very destructive for the kids when there's that kind of anger and feuding that's occurring. And certainly some of that's involved with finances and child support and all those kind of things. And certainly those are real issues. But, you know, you just kind of have to keep working.
Hi, Joe. I see that you've called back and you had to, something to add to this part.
Yeah. You guys kind of stole my thunder a little bit of my turn to talk. He cut me off. So I thought maybe he just didn't really want to hear what I had to say. But it's more important that these kids have to understand that we love them. They're a priority. And if, as long as that's made clear, and you will drop anything for them. When you're in a situation where, you know, reluctantly or willingly, whatever, you become a single parent, absolutely the life that you think that you wanted to live has to be forgotten, because now all of a sudden you're dual rolling everything. There's no tag teaming on any efforts, especially if you have more than one child, and all the kids need their individual attention. It's overwhelming. It's a constant marathon. And then on top of that, you may have a situation where the other spouse has done everything possible to, discredit you. And so you have to regain the trust of the children and warranted or unwarranted. And the most important thing that I've found in my situation is I just stay consistent, make sure they know that I love them and I'm there for them. And, the easiest thing to get into is trying to, like he was saying earlier, the gentleman was saying earlier, you know, one up your former spouse and buy him this, that, or the other thing, or take him this, that, or the other place that you maybe wouldn't have done had the marriage not broken up. But all of a sudden now you're this super person that wants to do these great things with these kids. Just be consistent, you know. Mm. And when they see that, they're going to know that that's the real you. Make the kids your priority. It shouldn't be dating. It shouldn't be hanging with your buds or your girlfriends or whatever. It's the kids. And I think that a lot of times that the fact that there are breakups and there are children out there being raised by single parents is because the kids weren't the priority. It was the desires of the adults, and we're wrong. I guess that's kind of all I really wanted to say. I listen to what you're having to say, and I agree with a lot of it, but some of it, I think we're trying to sugarcoat too many things. Just be a good dad and a good mom, and put your own desires behind the children's needs.
Well, Joe, I don't think we stole your thunder at all. Thank you very much for your input there. He made a really good point that I've found all over the place, is putting aside your own personal stuff, dating, the works. And a lot of sites suggested that instead of spending all your time trying to find somebody to date while you're a single parent, finding people to be friends with, mm-hmm. to build a community, to raise that child as like within a village. And we have Rebecca here, who also is co-parenting, just as we're talking about that. Hi, Rebecca. How are you doing?
Hi, good afternoon. I think this is an excellent topic, and I don't always have a perfect relationship with my son's other family. I think it's important for parents to remember that our children are little people, and that respecting and honoring their other family is pretty important. So although there's maybe a negative dynamic going on whenever my son returns to me, I always check in with him about his siblings and his grandparents and allow him a safe space to share with me what's going on. And it's not that I'm spying or interested. I want him to feel comfortable that I get that he has another family. And I save my venting for a time with other adults, and I respect his ears because he doesn't need to be hearing any frustrations that I'm having.
That is great.
Share that with everybody.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. Thank you, Rebecca. That's really great advice. I know a lot of co-parents myself, and I hear them blister a lot. And I think it's really good that all of us learn to not do that in front of the children. I think that's really great advice. I do want to point out that you are listening to Hometown Alaska. We're getting to wind down here for the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And I also wanted to point out that this just so happens to happen. This just happens to happen. This show is airing today, the 17th, and next Sunday, March 21st, is National Single Parents Day. It's a day set aside to honor and applaud the hardworking single parents and all that they do. So for those of you listening and tuning in today, those that are single parents, we all would like to do a pre-applauding for National Single Parents Day. And the rest of you, make sure to give a round of applause to your friends this coming Sunday. We are here today with my guests. Thank you both very much for coming out to visit us. We have Rich Steinzig, who's a social worker here in town, and education specialist Karen Halpin. Is there anything that either the two of you would like to add at the very last?
I do. I feel that in parenting, there's no rule book. We can only do our best with constant readjustment based on clear communication with our children. From the moment your child is born, start singing, reading, talking, and playing with your child, and don't stop. Have fun. Upon entering kindergarten, set the expectation that she or he will graduate from high school, and you will be there every step of the way, providing support and encouragement, working in partnership with the school.
Great. And
you know, I'm constantly amazed of how fast time passes and how we have our little ones around, and next thing we know, they're teenagers and kind of heading off and doing their own things, and then they become young adults. And I guess I just want us to be able to really focus in and enjoy the time we have with our kids.
Excellent. This hour has gone by so fast as well, speaking of time going fast. Thank you for joining me and my guest today, licensed clinical social worker Richard Steinzig and education specialist with Alaska Parent Information and Resource Center, Karen Halpin. Next week, Kathleen McCoy will be sitting in this hosting chair Wednesday, February 24th on Hometown Alaska. And remember to give a good round of applause, maybe a nice meal, some flowers to your single parent friends this weekend, because next Sunday, March 21st, is National Single Parents Day. And Pat Yak is APTI Vice President of News and Public Media. Kristen Speck engineered today's program with assistance from Constance Huff. And again, next week, tune in to Hometown Alaska at 2 p.m. every Wednesday, as usual. Next week will be Kathleen McCoy sitting in this hosting chair. Thanks for listening. I'm Tika Ballas, and this is Hometown Alaska.
Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program, additional information, and links to all the websites mentioned on today's show are available online at kska.org. Send us your comments and suggestions of things you'd like to talk about at Hometown Alaska, 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. This is KSKA Anchorage.